I'm going to start on the bottom of Tzadi Hey Amud Bet, about 7 lines from the bottom. Right now, we're going to go back. This is the Gemara now is going to jump back to, if you remember, we had the Machlokas between Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yonatan argued before at the end of Tzadi Dalet Amud Bet. They argued about the fact when you have lists in the Torah, Rabbi Oshia means whenever you have a list of items, it means and. Mean that it must be and, mean you need all of them to qualify unless the Torah has something to chalek to separate them. And then Rabbi Yonatan believes the natural state of the items or a list of items means and or. Meaning it means both. It means them altogether and it means them individually. So now the Gemara says like this. Abaye suffer like Rabbi Oshia. Abaye holds like Rabbi Oshia, meaning that if you have a list of items, it means and. Umutaritz the cry like Rabbi Oshia. And he answers or he explains the psukim according to Rabbi Oshia. Rava suffer like Rabbi Yonatan. Rava holds like Rabbi Yonatan that when you have a list of items, it means and it also means or. Umutaritz the cry like Rabbi Yonatan. He explains the psukim according to Rabbi Yonatan. So the Gemara is going to break this down. Abaye. Suffer like Rabbi Oshia. Abaye holds like Rabbi Oshia. Umataritz like Rabbi Oshia. What's that? Balav ein imo shalem yishalem. So the pasuk says balav ein imo. The pasuk Yud Gimel says v'chishal ish meim reyu v'nishbar omet. So now you have a list of items. You have a list of items that are enumerated here, and then it says afterwards the pasuk says ends balav ein imo shalem yishalem. So taima delete b'tervayu. That means that the reason or the time that he would be patur is if he doesn't have both of them. If he has one of them and not the other, then he would be patur in that case. So what does that mean? Because the pasuk says by v'chishal, and then it says nishbaru meit. So if, according to Rabbi Oshia, when you say a number of items in a pasuk, like sheila and nishbar and meit, that means that all of them must be there in order to be chayav. So that's like saying in the pasuk, chishal ish me'ireyu, and v'nishbaru meit, then balav enimo, if the balim are not there, shalem yishalem, then he's chayav. So that means that if, and, meaning that if at the time of the barring, and at the time of the death, the balim are not there, then you're chayav. Indicative or implicit from that is if they are there, if they're present in either one of those two situations, that you would be patur. So that's the first inference that we would get from the pasuk. Gemara says, v'haktiv, what about the second pasuk in Yudalit? But the Dalit says, im balav imo lo yishalem. If the balim are present, lo yishalem, then he's patur. Well, that means that what? Lo yishalem, time adita dervayu. That means that only in both places, meaning both at the time of Sheilan and the time of Shvura and Meita, if the balim are present, then you are patur. If he's only there for one of them, mechayev, then he would be chayav. So basically, you have a stira, right, in the psukim, or you have a stira between the balavimo and the stira ve'ein balavimo, because if you learn like Rabbi Oshia, you have sheila and nishbaru meit, that means that you'll need both in order to be chayav, and you'll need both in order to be patur. That means that if the balim are always present, right, then you are patur. But the other case says that if the balim are present in neither case, then you are chayav. That leaves open the cases in the middle, which is one and one. Basically, because you can infer from each case, you can infer the opposite result of having one there and one not there. So Gemara says, lo mar lecha. So what does that teach you? Hayai mo b'shat sheila, ein tzarich liyomoti mo b'shat shvura meita. That comes to teach you that the middle case is actually a split, or there's a difference. That if he's there b'shat sheila, if the balim imo at the time of the sheila, then he doesn't have to be there at the time of b'shat shvura meita. Hayai mo b'shat shvura meita, but if he's present at the time of shvura meita, tzarich liyot mo b'shat sheila. That will not be sufficient. So that's how we get the inference. The inference draws both ways, that when do you need both and when do you need only one? Meaning that you need both to be patur when it's at the time of Shvura Meita. If the balim are present in Shvura Meita, that in itself is not sufficient. You also need at the time of Sheila. And that's how you be patur. And in order to be patur, the other way from the inference in the ratio from the first part of the pasuk, how do we know that patur of... Right, how do we know the tour of when he's there Yishal and not there at Shvura Meita? That's from the inference of the first pasuk. So David, you're going to ask me, how do you know it's Sheila and not Shvura Meita?
A better question.
Right.
The question is, so you see, the fact if he's there Yishat Shvura Meita doesn't matter at all. As long as he's there Yishat Sheila, we
have a tour. I don't know how to answer your question, really, because I don't... To me, these limudim seem very difficult. The limudim seem difficult. We're going to see in a second why they pick Sheila over Shvura and Meita, But your basic point is, why not just get Nishbar Met out of the way? Meaning that the pasuk should just read, V'chishal ishmim reyu, balav enimo shalem yishalem, balav enimo lu yishalem, and then Nishbar Met, something like that. I mean, why put Nishbar Met together with the Ishal at the beginning? And that's a harder question, and the Gemara doesn't address, and that's the way the Torah is, we're just dealing with the way it's written, and the Gemara knows what the answer is. The Gemara knows that it's only by Sheila and not by Shvur Meta, and they're trying to work through Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yonatan's positions. Right, so I don't have a good answer for you, to be honest. I don't have a good answer for you. All right, Rava Savar, La'ak Rabbi Yonatan. Rava holds like Rabbi Yonatan, and Matar Tzakrai, Rabbi Yonatan. He answers the Pesukim, or he explains the Pesukim like Rabbi Yonatan. Titania, Im Balavimo lo Yishalem. If the Balim are there, then he doesn't have to pay. Now, according to Rabbi Yonatan, it says Ishal and Nishbar Omet, which means Ishal or Nishbar Omet. Means either or. So then it says, if the Balim are there, then he's patur. Mashma de'iti b'tarvayu, mashma nami de'chi'ite b'chada v'lete b'chada patur. From the Rabbi Yonatan's position, means that if he's there for both, or if he's there for either or, he's going to be patur. Uchtiv, but then you have the other pasuk, balav enimo, if the Balim are not there, shalem yishalem. Mashma, so from there it sounds like the lete b'tarvayu, if he's not there by both cases, right? Or it means or, which means that if either or of them he's not there, then he's chayav. So now, again, you have a stira this way. Again, the conclusion is, if he's there at the time of Sheila, he does not need to be there at the time of Shura Meita. I mean, that's the Ptur. If he's there at the time of Shura Meita, he needs to be there at the time of Sheila. And again, David, your question stands, which is, why involve Shura Meita at all? Because the whole dependence here is on Sheila, and Shura and Meita are completely irrelevant in this instance. So Gemara says, Ipochana, which is the question that I was saying to you, David, meaning how does the Gemara know go which way to go? I mean, the Gemara automatically assumed that Sheila is the pivotal factor, and Shura Meira in Meita becomes the irrelevant factor. You could have learned both the Shita of Rabbi in Rabbi Oshia and Rav and Rabbi Yonatan could be learned the other way around, which is just, you could have...
And they could also learn the same.
I'm sorry? You mean they could be equal?
Yeah.
I mean that either one of them.
One person this way and the other person the other way, and then there wouldn't be a machloket at all.
Well, there is no machloket. Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yonatan are not arguing here. They both come to the same conclusion, which is that Sheila is pivotal and Shura Meita is irrelevant. It's just their mashma'ut torshim, but they come to the same conclusion. All right, so Gemara says, Ibochana. Mistavro. The Gemara says, no, Mistava Sheila Adifa. It makes more sense to make Sheila the pivotal fact. Meshum dekamaiti la derushute. Because Sheila is the thing that generates the relationship. It's the actual transaction that generates their whole relationship. So at that point, that pivotal point is the time you need Balav Yimo. Gemara says, Adarava. Shmura Meita Adifa Shekein Chayav Beonsin. I mean, Shmura Meita is more Adif because that's exactly what's so special about a Shoel is that he's Chayav even by Onsin. Where it says, Ilo Sheila Shmura Meita Mayovit. He says, without Sheila, Shmura Meita are irrelevant. I mean, that the only reason you're Chayav in Shmura Meita is because you generated a relationship of Sheila. So Sheila is a prerequisite for getting to Shmura Meita. So that should give a Sheila a higher form. Where it says, wait a minute, Ilav Shvura Meita, Sheila Mayovit. He says, if there's no Shvura Meita, then the Sheila becomes irrelevant. Because the only reason that Sheila becomes an issue, that it's Chayav, is because the animals actually died, or there was some form of Ones. Without an Ones, then the whole relationship is meaningless, because he returned the animal, and there's nothing to talk about. So the Gemara says, okay, in that instance, or for that issue, they're both equal. Gemara says, afilu achi shela adifa. Shela is more adif, shekein chayav b'mizonotah. So basically what the Gemara is saying is that shela generates a liability independent of what happens afterwards. True, if there's shvura meita later on, that liability is also generated by shela, but it's also the only reason that shela is relevant because shvura meita. But on the other hand, shela itself is also generates a liability. And what does that mean that Sheila generates a liability over here? Because when you borrow the animal, you become chayav to feed it and take care of it, to bring in mizonot for this animal. So that fact that you generate a liability at the time that the relationship is created, that makes it that the point of Sheila is the most important point, because it has both aspects. It has the aspect of generating the relationship, plus it has the aspect of generating a liability that always will be there. meaning the liability of mizonot, as opposed to shvura meita, which can happen or may not happen. And again, sheila, the relevance of sheila will only be then with shvura meita. But here, because of mizonot, it makes sheila irrelevant at every moment. So now, based on that, Rav Ashi learns it for something else. Rav Ashi agrees with this position that Sheila is the pivotal point, but he learns it from a different part of the Pasuk. Amar Kra, v'chi shal ish me'im re'ehu. Pasuk says that v'chi shal ish me'im re'ehu, from his friend, v'lo re'ehu imo, but not that his friend's with him, then shalem ishalem, then he has to pay. When are you chayav as a shoel? It's v'chi shal ish me'im re'ehu, when you borrow from your friend, but not when you borrow with your friend. So that's his diuk out of the pasuk. Shalem ishalem, ha're'imo patur. Umar says, ihochi, if that's the case, what do you need the rest of the pasuk for? Why do you need pasuk yudalad? The end of the parsha, which says, Iyachi balav enimo vim balav imo lomali. What do you need the pasuk to tell me about balav with him and balav not with him? I mean, all you need the pasuk to say, according to Rashi, is v'chi shal ish me'im re'ehu v'nishbaru meit shalem ishalem. Then you would have known all of this, because the word im re'ehu teaches us this factor of balav imo and balav imo. Right? Ilav hanach ava amina. Had it not been for these, I would have thought what the word im re'ehu means hay orche dekrahu. Right, the pasuk in many places says, you know, re'ehu, or from everything like that. That's not something that's a chiddush over here that you would all of a sudden come to determine or make a, make a limud out of it. So then, on the other hand, once you have balev imo and ain't balev imo, that is maret on the word re'ehu, when it teaches you what is the din of re'ehu. So Rav Ashi still needs balev imo and balev any imo to teach you that there is a issue of the balim being there at all. Now how do you apply that issue of the balim being there or not being there? That you go back to the beginning of the pasuk and says chi shal ish me'im re'ehu, and that teaches you that it's about sheila. The pivotal point is sheila, which is me'im re'ehu and not im re'ehu. It's from his friend but not with his friend, and that means that the sheila is that pivotal point, and that's Rav Ashi's limud.
I have another question.
Sure. What does that mean? Yeah, he borrows the para, it would be chishal, something, imre'eu, with his friend, right? So he's the
that would imply a totally different case, that two people borrow from someone else.
No, chishal ish, a person borrows para, which is missing, the object of what he borrows is missing from the pasuk, imre'eu, along with the friend, meaning along with the owner. The owner, meaning along with the owner of the animal. Okay, so there'll be before we move on to these questions, the Gemara is going to go through a series of questions, so hopefully we'll run through very quickly. I wanted to take one stop here to explain what is the p'tur of balav imo. Right, that's it's a very difficult to understand. Why should a shoel or why should any shomrim be p'tur when it comes to balav imo? So very good. So that's Tosus' position. Tosus on the spot has, based on one of these questions, Tosus asks a question. You'll see, if you look at Tosus, v'nishalo echad mehem, it's the third Tosus on the daf. If you look down in the narrow lines in Tosfos, it's two lines down in the narrow lines, it says, v'yesh lomar, dehatam svaru hu shishalei mefashe ganav, aval sheila bebalim ein svara liftor. Exactly what you just said, David, that by sheila bebalim, there's no reason to make you patur. Vavi kechidush. It's completely a chidush. V'en lebalo lechidusho. The Tosfos says exactly what David just suggested, that balav imo is a chidush haTorah gzerat haKetuv. There is no svara behind it. If it's a chidush, nothing to talk about, then the chidush is narrow down to what the chidush applies to. So that is one approach. One approach to balav imo being patur is that it's simply a chidush gzerat haKetuv. There are two other possibilities, and within those two other possibilities, we can come to subcategories. The first possibility is that a person cannot be, that you cannot have two relationships or a dual relationship at the same time. Because basically what you're having here is you're borrowing his animal, but you're also borrowing him. That means that you can't have a shibud that runs both directions, which means that you are responsible to the balim, but the balim are responsible to you. So you can't have such a relationship where there is that dual responsibility. So that's one way to formulate. The Rabbag actually divides that up into two possibilities of the relationship. There's one possibility of the relationship is that it can't be possible. Shaploni mechuyav l'amoni, kasher amoni mechuyav l'ploni. Meaning that you can't have a chiyuv run both ways. Rak d'muta chat yecholad ishtabed l'shniya. Only one personality or one subject can be meshubad to the other subject. You can't have a duality in the shibud here. The other way to phrase it is that oved, someone who goes to work for another person, does not want to be mevatel the agreement in his owner, the person, the balim, that is his employer that he's working for. And therefore, he will eliminate any obstacle to his being hired here. So over here, if you are also borrowing the balim over here, you're also working with the balim will take away any obstacle to their being a laborer over here. A person wants employment. He wants to be employed properly. And therefore, when he engages, he eliminates any obstacles. And an obstacle would be that you would be responsible for the animal. And therefore, you eliminate the animal. That's one possibility, again, of explaining what the patur balamimo is, that there can't be this two-way relationship. And here, we subdivided that into two possibilities. Either you can't have two subjects be mishubad to each other, or that the person who is working, the eved, the ovei, the employee, does not want anything in his way, and therefore he eliminates any achrayut. The other possibility of explaining why balavimo is patur comes from Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna before established a certain formula about how you're chayav. What did Rav Hamnuna, even though Rav Hamnuna is not accepted halacha, maybe his idea is accepted halacha. What did Rav Hamnuna demand? Rav Hamnuna demanded the balim be there both at Shat Sheila and at the Shat Shvura Meita. Number two, he says that the balim have to be involved in the same malacha. So what Rav Hamnuna is basically saying is that the balim, by being there, basically accept or take on all the achrayut. They take on all the responsibility. Because since the balim are always there and they're involved in malacha, they basically are responsible for what's happening. If they're responsible, we can't make the borrower, the shuel, responsible. That's what Rav Hamnuna's statement is. So even though we reject Rav Hamnuna's halacha, maybe that idea of the balim being there means that they take on the achrayut, right, could be the explanation for why balavimo is patur. And again, there, you can divide that up into two ways. You can either say that when the balim themselves are at the time of the sheila are there, then they are also, they're mefakeach, they are looking over the pikadon, and therefore they can't come to the shomer and have any claims against the shomer. Meaning that the fact that they were present at the time of the sheila and they begin to work, or they're working with him, they're involved with him, that makes them the shomrim, or makes them the one responsible for the animal. If they're the responsible for the animal, they can't impose responsibility on the shomer. Later on they disappear, but that's not b'shat sheila. The only time you can obligate the shomer is at the time of the kinyan, at the time of the sheila. Time of the sheila, they were the ones responsible. That's one possibility of explaining. Or the other possibility is that the pikadon never goes to the reshuta shomer. Pikadon never moves to the shomer because the mere fact, right, that you have the balim imo, meaning that the fact that the balim come means that the balim bring together with them the animal. I mean, they're coming to work for you, and since they're coming to work for you, they bring along the objects to do the work. It's like you're hiring a party. You're hiring a crew to do something. When you hire the crew, you hire the main contractor, you hire the main guy, and he brings all the rest of the crew, or he brings the materials along with him. So therefore, is he bringing the other items, or the para, are all incidental. If they're incidental, you're not chayav, because it never came into your possession. So those are a number. We gave three basic ways here to explain why balavimo is patur. One is it's gzerat ha-ketuv, it's a chidush. Number two is that possibilities that you can't have a two-way relationship. And again, we subdivided that of the two-way relationship. Either that you can't have two people mishubad to each other, or that when there's an employee-employer relationship, that's the only relationship. There won't be any other relationships. The other third possibility which we gave was that it's like Rav Hamnuna. We used a model of Rav Hamnuna, which is, means that the balim being there makes them responsible for the animal. And again, we subdivided that into two possibilities. Either that the balim being there makes them responsible for the animal, and therefore the shomer never becomes responsible. Even when the balim leave later on, they can't demand of the shomer because it wasn't there at the time of the sheila. Or the other possibility is that when you hire the balim along with the para, means that you're hiring the team. When you hire the team, right, then the team comes as a single entity, and since the balim are bringing their incidental or their kelim with them, that means that it's their kelim. It never came into the possession of the shomer. The shoel never took possession of this item because it really belongs to the whole pact or the whole contract that he took along with the balim. All right, so that's just a little taste of why, maybe possibilities of why balavimo is patur. Now the Gemara is going to go and ask questions about balavimo patur. So let's see this. Ba'irami b'chama she'ila l'rav amahu. If the individual borrows it in order to have bestiality with it, what's the din? Kiddushayli inshe b'inan, right? That you need him to borrow it like people normally borrow. Or l'hachi lo shayli inshe. People normally don't enter into a borrowing relationship for this type of behavior. So therefore, he does not qualify to be in the pasuk of ichi shal ish mi imreyo. And therefore, he won't be chayv in onsin because he's not a shoel. Odilma, time am I? what's the reasoning that a shoel is chayav mishum hano? Because he gets benefit from it, right? V'hai nami ha'it le'hano. This guy gets benefit from it, so he gets benefit from it. That makes him into a shoel. Shala li'ra'ot. If he borrows the animal, not to use the animal, but to be seen with the animal. He wants to, right, as Rashi says over here, he wants to drive around town in a fancy car. He wants to have a Lexus, because if he drives around town in a Lexus, people will lend him money. They will think that he has he's a good credit, and it'll help him with his credit scores. So he wants to have this animal here, because it'll somehow allow him to gain access to credit. So now, Gemara says, Mamona be'inan va'ika. Does a shoel have to be something which means Mamona, meaning that he has right, that he has to borrow an item, and that he did. He borrowed the item. Odilma, Mamona or do we need that he borrows something that he uses in order to be chayav aleka? And that's not present over here. I mean that ishela simply a monetary item, meaning that you somehow get in possession of another person's item that you borrow, whereas borrowing mean that you borrow in order to use. You have to have some sort of use of the item. And now the Gemara asks another question. Sheila la sopa pachot mi pruta amau. If he borrows the animal in order to do less than a pruta of work, what's the din? Mamona be'inan. We need, right, monetary use. Right, meaning mamona means here both mamona be'inan, that we need it to be monetary and usage. Ve'ikan is using it. Odilma kol pachot mi pruta lav klumi. Or maybe anything below a... Right, the pruto is not considered to be a monetary exchange or considered to be of value, enough consideration to make you into a shoel over here. Now, sha'al shtei parot, lasot behen pruta amau. If you borrow two parot in order to do one pruta's worth of work, what's the din? So it's clear here that the Gemara is doing an intim salomar. If you say that there's a demand of a pruta in order to be chayav or to become a shoel, then what happens if you borrow two parot in order to do a pruta's worth of work? Do we say, mi aminin zil bat shoel umashio? Do we look at the gavra? Do we look at the two individuals here and they contracted or they had a relationship between them is about a pruta, vika, and that you have, udilma zil bat parot, or do you go after the cheftza that he borrowed? And over there, b'chol chad v'hada lekem amona, and each one of them, they do not do a work of a pruta over here. Now, sha'al mishutfin, if he borrows from shutfim, nishalo chad mehem, and one of them also, along with the animal, comes along with the animal. So he borrows from two partners that own this animal, he borrows from both of them, but then one of them also joins to work with the animal. Mao, kulo bala be'inan v'aleka, do we need to have the entire ownership along with you to be patur, and that's lacking over here, because you only have one of the two partners? Odilma mi'ha'u pagodidei mi'al biftar, shipapatur from at least a half that he is involved with. I mean, that shutaf, that partner that is working with him now, is balavimo, and she'd be patur for that chetzi. On that's what the Tosus we read before was talking about. He says, we have that in the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama asks exactly this question by Arba V'chamisha. If you steal from shutfin, and then you shecht, and you, right, you mocher the animal, right, so then you're chayv in Arba V'chamisha. So over there, the Gemara wants to know if one of the partners, right, is involved, right? If it's one partner from the other partner, if there's one of them knows, one doesn't involve, then what the Gemara says there, that you even do chatzi. That you have to pay for half. So over there, the Gemara clearly states that when it comes to two partners, you take half and you divide it. So Tosus asks, why don't you say the same thing over here? It should be just divided in half. And so that's Tosus' answer. Tosus' answer is that balavimo is a chiddush. You can't learn anything about a chiddush. Chiddush doesn't follow logic. This is all the chiddush over here. Right? Shutvin sheshalu v'nishalu echad mehem. Shutvim that borrowed. So two partners borrow a singular item. Right? Mao, what's the din over here? Right? Kulo shoel ba'inan v'leka. You need the entire shoel over here, and that is lacking because after the two partners borrowed it, the owner went to work for one of those two partners. So now we need the entire borrower to be involved with Balav Yimon, that we don't have. Right, in the part that he is right involved with, then he should be patur. For that shutaf, it should be patur. The other shutaf will be chayav. Now, the Gemara continues with questions. Sha'al mi isha v'nishal bala. He borrows an item from a woman, and v'nishal bala, and her husband goes to work for him. Or, isha shashala, or the other hand, that a woman that borrowed, v'nishal bal. Right, and then the Baal, the owner of the item, goes to work for her husband. Mahu, what's the din? Kinyan peirot ki kinyan guv dami or lo. Does the Kinyan Perot have the din of Kinyan Guf or not? Why? Because what are we talking about here by the woman's possession? We're talking about the Nechsei Malug. So when we're looking at the Nechsei Malug, we want to know what's the status of these Nechsei Malug. Are the Ba'alim, the husband over here, has some form of ownership in his wife's possessions, his next name of look. What do we know about that? He has the output of the property, he gets the payroll of the property. When he gets the output of the payroll of the property, he has basically a leasehold on the output of the property. If that's the case, what type of ownership does he have in his wife's possessions? Does he have a full ownership in the sense that he and his wife are equivalent, and therefore if you are hired out, to the Baal, or the Baal is hired out to you, it's the equivalent of the woman being hired out because he has ownership in the property, or not? So, Amar Lei Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina says to Rashi, Homer l'shulcho, he adds an additional question, and the Gemara is going to come back and answer, or at least indicate to us that this is similar to a machlokes we saw other words. Homer l'shulcho, someone says to a shliach, tzei vasheli imparati imahu. So a person goes out and says, go out, he says to a shliach, go on my behalf, and then you, when you rent me out, rent me and my para out together. So he's saying basically, lend me out and my para together as a single entity. So now Gemara says, what's the din? Mao balav mamash bina. Do we need the balim, actual balim, veleka, and that's lacking? Odilma shlucho shel adam kimoto. Or that is a shliach shel adam kimoto. And if a shliach shel adam kimoto, it's as if the balim were there. It's as if the balim were there at the shat sheila and they were lent out at the shat sheila. Or now, the way you formulate this question really depends on what you think the ptura balavimo is. I mean that if you think the ptura balavimo is because you can't have two shibudim in both directions, right, then what's the question of the Gemara over here? Right, the question of the Gemara should be irrelevant because Shliach Shadam Kamoto, everybody agrees that in general Shliach Shadam is Kamoto, and over here the Shliach can generate a shibud for you on your behalf. So what's the question over here? So that's why some people want to favor the explanation that the reason behind Balavimo's patur is because the two are together. The Balim are there, and therefore they become responsible for the animal. So then you can have a question of Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoto over here. Do you actually need the Balim to be present in order to be responsible, to have achrayut over the animal at the time of the Sheila? Because that means that they're mefakeach on the animal. But if the Shliach goes and then engages on behalf of the Balim, since the Balim are not present, maybe that doesn't make them right responsible or mefakhim over the item, and therefore they would not be responsible. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is like Tosus explains. We're going to see in a second that Tosus says it's basically a gzerat hakatuv here. Do we say that the general principle of shliach shel adam b'moto applies over here, or do we say balav? The word balav in the pasuk is repeated twice, balav, balav, and because of that, right, we demand that the balim themselves be there. So if that's the case, then you can explain it according to Tosus, who says it's a chiddush that balavimo is patur, and so too over here. The question of balavimo is simply a question of the gzerat hakatuv. What is gzerat hakatuv? That literally balav, or even shliach shel adam kamoto, or the other possibility is even according to one who says balavimo is patur, because you can't create a double shibud. So despite the fact that yes, you can create a double shibud through a shliach, but maybe there's a demand in the pasuk of balav balav that there is a gzerat ketuv that the balim must be present. Amar lei ravacha brei deravavi leravashi. So Ravashi said we can answer this. Baal. The relationship, or kinya perot kinya guftame, is plukta the Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish, is the same as a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish, and shliach, this issue that you're asking about shliach, is a plukta the Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Yoshia. Baal plukta Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish, what does it mean that Baal is the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish? Ditmar, a mocher sadeu lechaveru leperot, a person who sells to his friend the output of the property for a number of years. He says basically you can have the property used for the next 3 years. You're renting the property for 3 years, you can plant it, you can do whatever you want with it. Now what does he have to do? He gets payrot off the property. What do you do with payrot? You live in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a mikdash there. What do you do with your payrot? You have to take him up to Yerushalayim to do mikra bikurim. Well, guess what? When you say, you know what part of the lashon of mikra bikurim is, say, al-art asher natat ali, right, then the land that you gave to me. So do I have land? Am I qualified? Am I considered to have land here when I come up to Yerushalayim? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Meviva Koreh. Yes, I'm considered to have land here. I can go up there and I can say Mikra Bikurim. Reish Lakish Omer Meviva Eno Koreh. Reish Lakish says you can go up, but you cannot read. You may not read Mikra Bikurim over here. Why can't you read Mikra Bikurim? Because you fail to qualify in the pasuk of Arami Oved Avi, which says that Reshit Priyad Madama Shonatatali. You didn't give it to me. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Meviv Korek Kinyan Periot Kinyan Aguvdami. Having a leasehold on the output of renting the property is enough to be classified as a Kinyan Aguv, and therefore it's your land. Reshit Priyad Madama Shonatatali. Correct. Why? Because Kinyan Periot Lav Kinyan Aguvdami. So you want to know what's the din here of Kinyan Periot? That's similar to Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Shliach. This din of Shliach Adam Kemoto. Do we qualify or not? It's plukta the Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Yosha. Why? The time Tanya. Omer l'epitropos, someone says to an executor of an estate, or basically, he's leaving town, and he leaves this individual responsible for feeding his wife and his kids. Then he says to him, Kol nederim shetei ishti noderet, any neder that my wife takes, mikan ad shavo mimakom ploni, from now until my wife gets back, hafer la, you be mefir, vehefir la, and the shliach did his bidding. I would think that that would work. Talmud Omer, Isha Yikemenu, Isha Yifereno, Divrei Rabbi Yoshiya. Rabbi Yoshiya, it doesn't work. Because you need the bow, you need the actual husband to do it, and a shliach is not sufficient. You know, Tanamir, Matsinim B'chol Makom, Shulchan Shel Adam Kamoto. And it says, no, that they have application of Shulchan Shel Adam Kamoto. So Tosas asked the question, how could you even compare the two cases? Why by Nidarim do we say that we demand that the bow be there? Because it says, Isha Yikemenu, Isha Yifereno. So it's the double lashon of Isha. Isha means the bow. The Baal must do both. So you have the double lashon of Baal, demands that the Baal be present. So if that's a demand by Nidarim, how could you apply Nidarim to, right, the case of Balav Imo by Shoel? So that's exactly what Tosa's answer is. Oh, by Shoel it also says Balav and Balav. It says Balav twice. So since it says Balav twice, maybe the same demand is present here in Shoel. But based on that, what do you see from Tosa? You see that this question of whether Shliach Shel Adam Kamoto is unique to these cases of Nidarim and Shoel. That meaning everybody agrees in general there's a principle called Shliach Shel Adam Kamoto. The only question is here, by Shoel and by Nidarim, do we apply this specific Gzerata Ketuv of, right, Balav Balav or Isha Isha to demand the physical presence of the individual, or no? Do we still apply Shliach Shel Adam Kamoto is so good that it means as if the Baal is present. It's enough to be classified as if the Baal is present. Okay. Samarle Rav Elish the Rava. Homer Lavdo. Someone says to Eved, say Vashel Imparati Mahu. He says, listen, you go out and lend yourself out along with my para. Tibai Lamandamar Shluch Shel Adam Kamoto. Tibai Lamandamar Shluch Shel Adam Eno Kamoto. Now this will be, the question will be raised no matter what your conclusion is about whether Shluch Shel Adam Kamoto works by Shoel or doesn't work. Why? Tibai Lamandamar Shluch Shel Adam Kamoto. Even if you say Shliach Shel Adam Kamoto works by Shoel, and that means that if you send the Shliach on your behalf to engage you and your para, it would be sufficient to be Balavimo and you be Patur. Hanimile Shliach de Bar Mitzvah. That only works with a Jew who can be a Shliach. Because a Jew is a bar mitzvot, and we learn out the din of shlichus from truma, which is atem gam atem, which ma atem b'bnei brit, ab shluchachem b'nei brit, right? That we have this principle that you and your both studim, they have to be a b'nei brit, and since there's a demand that you be a b'nei brit, therefore when you send another person on your behalf, then you can say shlich shadomo, eved de la bar mitzvah, lo. But when it comes to an eved, he can't act on your behalf, and since he can't act on your behalf, right, we can't imply the principle of shliach shel adam kamoto over here. Oh, Dilma. Or maybe, I feel in the mandamar, ain't shlucho shel adam kamoto. Even according to one who says that in general, we don't apply the principle of shlucho shel adam kamoto by Shoel. And therefore, if you send a shliach to engage you in a para, it will not work. Hani mele shliach. That's only when it's a shliach. Is why the shliach is an independent party. He's only an agent. Aval eved, yad eved, ki yad robo dami. An eved is his rebbe, meaning that he's the same as the Adon. It's the equivalent of the Adon being there. When the Eved goes ahead and engages himself on behalf of the Adon, it's as if the Adon himself is there and is engaging himself. Because the Eved is just an extension. It's like a limb of the Rav. The Gemara concludes over here, one conclusion out of all these questions, that it's clear that Yad Eved is Yad Rabo. That the Eved is an extension of his Rav, and therefore if the Eved rents himself out, or the Baal tells the Eved to go and rent himself out, right, with the para, that would be equivalent of balavimo, and he'd be patur. Now, this is only when he's instructed by the balim to do this. If the Eved himself goes and lends himself out with the para, with the acquiescence of the balim, meaning not that the balim instructed him, but simply that the balim know and it's okay, over there you probably would not consider it as balavimo. Because there the Eved is acting in his own capacity to be mishabed himself. He's not acting as a yad of the Rav. It's only when the Rav instructs him specifically to go is he acting as the yad of the Rav, and in that case it will be clear to considered as of Balev Imo, and he'll be patur. Right, Bari Rami Barchama Baal Benichse Ishto. Right, Rami Barchama says that the Baal with Nichse Isho. What is the status of a husband when it comes to the Nichse Malug of his wife? Shoel Havi, is he a borrower? O Secher Havi? Or is he a renter? Right, is he a borrower or a renter? Truthfully, the Gemara could have just dismissed this question right offhand because the Mishnah in Yevamot says that when it comes to Nichse Malug, the husband is not responsible for the property at all. Meaning that he doesn't have to, he can hand back. When he finishes working with the property, he hands up whatever the value of the property is, he hands it back to his wife, and that's it. There's nothing to talk about what the value of the property is. So the Gemara could have just dismissed it offhand, but the Gemara is going to use a better question. Amarava, the from Churfa Shibashta, right, according to the one who's so harif, meaning that the questioner is so harif over here, he made a mistake in asking a question, meaning that the question is in such a... there is no basis for this question. Monashach, what's the difference if he's a shoel or socher? Ishol el havi, if he is a borrower over here, she'ela bebalim hi. He's a borrowing it with his wife present, and therefore he's she'ela bebalim. Isocher havi, if he's a socher, schirut bebalim hi, and there he's also be patur. Meaning that shoel and socher, when we in the final analysis, when we say that balavimo applies to all shomrim, then it should be irrelevant whether the baal is a shoel or socher, because he's doing it in balim. He's doing it with the balim. If he's doing it with the balim, the baal will always be patur for anything that happens to the property. Ella kiki mabayile, the Rami bar Chama, the question that was asked right over here by Rami bar Chama is this. What's the question? The agar mina para. He rented from his wife a para, bahadur naspa, and then afterwards he marries her. So first he rented a para from her, and then he marries her afterwards. Now what? What happens? Does there shoel havi or socher havi? When he marries her, what's his status? Is he a shoel or socher? Why should that make a difference? Shoel havi. If he's a shoel, va'atya sheila bebalim, mafkas chirut shelo bebalim. Because if he's a shoel, then his sheila bebalim will undermine or erase the original relationship, which was chirut, which was renting without the balim. Oh, dilma. If he's a renter over here, then schirut to kaima kaima. Then he's continuing the original relationship. They had schirut and they continue the relationship. Rashi says, what do you mean? Maishna. Mean that there's a new relationship entered there. Whether you say he's a shoel or a socher, there's definitely a new relationship here. If he's a shoel, then it's going to eliminate shoel. Now you have sheila bebalim because the wife is present, and that will eliminate the original schirut that was shelo bebalim. So isocher nami. If he's a renter, the same thing. If you classify him as a renter when he marries and takes the next time to look for his wife, you have a new schirut which is with balim, right? That will get rid of schirut shelo bebalim, get rid of the original relationship which was schirut shelo bebalim. So that can't be the question.
What's the new language? It's if we're saying that the status changes. If he rented it originally, and then when he marries her, he becomes not a renter, he becomes a borrower. So it's a change in status. So it's as if there's a new end.
So Tosfos asks your question. He says the Gemara didn't want to go that way. That the third Tosfos down, Tosfos asks your question and says that he doesn't think that the Gemara didn't think that that was a good enough reason to separate between Sheila and Schirut. If you look at the third Tosfos down, let me establish the Meimar, the Dafka Sheila Shosif Litchayv Onsin Mafkia Schirut Shemitchila. The only Sheila is enough to be Mafkia, but Schirut and Schirut is not. The Gemara seems to equate the two and says either one should be sufficient to be Mafkia over here. All right, now the Gemara says Ella. So we have to come up with a better question over here. Ella Kikimai Baile Rabbi Bachama. What's the question, Rabbi Chama? Going to Agra Ihi Para. She rented the Para originally, Ma'alma, from someone else. V'hadar Naspa, and then he marries her. So now, what do we have here? We have she's a socher, and he becomes a shoel from her. Because he's engaging her, so now he becomes a shoel. So he's borrowing from someone who is a socher. So Gemara says, we had this machlokas in a Mishnah earlier on in the Masechta, that a shoel from a socher, when the shoel borrows from a socher, the socher is patur, but the shoel is chayav. So when the shoel is chayav, who does he pay? Does he pay? According to Rabbanan, he pays the socher. According to Rabbi Yossi, he pays the original balim. So that's what Gemara says. Aliba de Rabbanan damrei shoel mishalem socher. According to Rabbanan, say the shoel pays the socher loti bailach. Then there's nothing to talk about here. The vada shela bebalim hi, because it's definitely shela bebalim. Why? Because the woman now becomes the balim over the animal. When she lends the animal to her husband afterwards, then it's basically shela bebalim. She's the baal, because if the husband something happens to it, then she has to pay back the husband. Ki di bailach, when do you have to answer? Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says damar tach. If something goes wrong here, then the baal will have to pay the original owners. My shoel havi or socher havi? Is he a borrower or is he a renter? Right? Why? Because if he's a borrower over here, then he'll have to pay back the original renter and pay back the original owner. If he has to pay the original owner, then it's not bebalim, because that original owner is not here. On the other hand, if he's a socher, if he's a renter from his wife, then his relationship is with the wife, and that means that he's renting bebalim. He's renting with his wife there. So remember, Rava, baal lo shoel havi v'lo socher havi. Rava says the whole premise of the question is mistaken. The options that you gave are not sufficient. He's not a shoel, he's not a socher. Lo lokeach havi is a buyer, and that means that he's patur. He'll be patur in all cases because he's simply a buyer. This is what we've seen many times. A woman who sells out the property under her husband, meaning that she sells out the property to a third party and says, after my husband dies or after I die, the property will revert to you. Because she still owns the underlying Karen in the property. She sells it out from under the husband, and the husband can work it until, right, the time that he passes away, and then the property will go to the third party. So Gemara says, if he does it b'chayiv ala u'meita, and then she dies, the Baal inherits her. Because the Usha, they were metakin, that the Baal's inheritance is the equivalent of being a lakuach. He's like a buyer. And since he's the first one to have a relationship with this woman, he has the first right or the first lien on the property. So when she subsequently sold it, the other party doesn't have any right over here, and he gets the property because he's the first lokeach, he's the first buyer over here. So if that's the case, he'll be patur. The re over here says that even though he's patur, which means that because he's lokeach, he's patur, he's still at minimum a shomer chinam. Anytime we say that a person's lokeach, and that means that they're patur, it means they're patur, but they still have the minimum qualifications of being a shomer chinam. Bai Rami Barchama, Bao benichse ishto mima'al. A Baal with the property of his wife, who is Mo'el? So what happened over here? Rashi describes the case as being that the woman and the man are married, and then the woman then inherits property from her father. Her father passed away, and now she inherits the property. So now the property that's coming to her is Nichse Malug, and the husband is entitled to take possession of that property. Within the context of the property that she inherited from her father is a bunch of property that is Kodesh. There was monies in there that were Kodesh. They were in piles or in bucket, you know, in bags of Kodesh money. So now what happens? Basically, the possessions fall to her, and then automatically he makes a kinyan on all of it. He takes possession. He's buying it from the wife, right? We just said before, Rav said he's called him a lokeach. He's basically taking possession of all this property from the wife. So now you have Kodesh that's moving from the wife to the husband as a transaction. Who is the Mo'el here? Who's the one who's be violating the Hekdesh? So Amar Rav, Man Limo. Who are you going to say is Mo'el here? Limo Baal, you're going to say that the Baal's Mo'el? What are you talking about? The Baal, when he said takes over possession of his wife's property, he only takes possession of that which is heter. He doesn't want to take possession of that which is isur. He will just take into his possession that which is available for him to take. So he never takes possession of the stuff that's kodesh. So Timol Ihi, so what are you going to suggest? The wife is the one who's mo'el it here because she's giving it over to the husband? She's handing it to the husband? She doesn't want to give over to her husband possession anything that's kodesh. She only intends to give to the husband own things that are het there. So the Gemara has an unbelievable statement here. If the Gemara didn't say it, you would never have thought of it. It says, Nim'alu Bezdin. The Bezdin were Moel. What does it mean, the Bezdin and Moel? You got to read this Rashi because it's so amazing. Nim'alu Bezdin, Rashi says, Shel Yisrael Ba'otodor. That the H Bezdin in every generation will be the ones responsible and Moel. Why? Shekol takanot mishpat tluya behen. Anything to do with monetary matters is dependent on the Bezdin. Ve'ayadehem nohagot chukot hametukanim litzibur mi'az. And because all takanot that were previous to them are driven through them, meaning that they are the enforcers and the ones that ensure that all previous takanot are carried out, and therefore they are responsible. It's as if they themselves were attacking this kinyan, as if they demanded that the woman hand the property to the husband, because it's a takanat usha, and therefore the bezdin will be the one that is mo'el over here, because they are the ones moving the property or causing the movement of the property. Mar says, wait a minute, you can't say that. Ki avdu rabbanan takanta, v'amru ba'al lokeach havi lehetera, l'isura lo avi rabbanan takanta. The takanas for chachamim was only when there was heter to over here. The chachamim's head takana is only that which is heter will pass from the wife to the husband. Their takana does not apply to isurim. So if their takana doesn't apply to isurim, right, then there is no reason to be moel. So what Rava basically said is that there is nobody to be moel here. The husband, nor the wife, nor the beis din is going to be moel. So what's the question? That there's no me'ila until the Baal spends the money. Until the money actually leaves the hands of the Baal, there is no me'ila. So this property that fell to the wife and then moved to the husband, there is no me'ila yet. Then if the husband goes and spends the money, then he would be mo'el. So that's the that would be the condition. Rashi says, El Amar Rava, Rashi says, Be'odam, only when he spends the money does he become the Mo'el over here. Just like someone else spends money out to Chulin. I mean, if someone takes money of Hekdesh and then they go spend the money and they make the money Chulin, then they are the one who is Mo'el over here. What happens if the animal deteriorates, meaning that the animal was weakened by the work that it does for this individual? He borrows the animal, and then he depreciates or it deteriorates while it's with him. So what's the din? Amalei Harum Rabbanan, Rav Chilkiya Breda of Av Yishmei, Michlau, Tchi Meita Machma Melecha Chayav. What are you implying? That if it dies while it's working, he's going to be Chayav? Right? Neima lav lukimta bekilta shelta. I didn't borrow this animal to stick it in a bed, a canopied bed. I mean, he's not going to the spa. I'm not borrowing this animal to take him to the spa. I'm borrowing this animal to work with him. I mean, the purpose, the whole point of borrowing the animal is in order to work with him. So, of course, there's going to be deterioration in the value of the animal. There's nothing to speak about over here. Ella Amarova. No, I'm not asking about the deterioration of the animal because of the melacha. Even if it dies, I mean, it goes to full deterioration, he's patur. Because I didn't borrow it to put him into a canopy. The whole purpose of borrowing is to use it. If while he's using it, it dies, that's what the whole purpose of the borrowing was for, and he'd be patur. So how gavra, the shal narga mechavre, this individual borrowed an axe from his friend, itvar, it broke. Until the kamei de Rava, he came before Rava, and he says, amalei zil aiti sade, bring witnesses, the lav shanita be, that you didn't misuse it, that you didn't abuse it, v'ifter in your patur, because it's basically meita machmat melacha. Vile kasade, mai, if there are no witnesses, what's the din? Right, so tashma, let's learn from this. Dao gavra de shal narga mechavre, person borrowed an axe from his friend, v'itvar, and it broke. Until the kamei de Rav, he came before Rav, amalei zil shlim le nagar malyu. You have to repay him a full, beautiful, new nagar. That's what the way Rashi translates it. You have to give him a brand new nagar. So amalei Rav Kana Ravasi, the Rav, dina hachi? Rav Kana Ravasi challenged Rav's psak over here. V'shatik Rav, Rav did not respond. V'hilchus, the loch is k'Rav Kana, the loch is like Rav Kana, v'Ravasi, the mahadale tavre, that he gives back the broken one, umamalile d'me mana, and then he makes up the differential. So the way Rashi reads the Gemara over here, the Gemara is suggesting, right, that the question, or what Rav was suggesting, is that the person keeps, the borrower keeps the broken axe, and then he has to pay and buy a brand new axe for the individual that he broke it for. And along comes Rav Kahana and Rav Asi and say, no, that this is like any other nizakin, and just like by other nizakin, the nevela stays with the nizak, right, and the mazik just pays the extra money to get him back to what would have been the live animal. So it's over here. You hand the broken axe back to the owner, and then you give him the differential in money between the broken axe and the fixed axe, and he has to go out and get himself a new axe by selling the two or putting the two together to buy himself a new axe. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara over here. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Shmuel does not like the explanation of Rashi, because he says that everybody knows that asubim you can pay from whatever you want over here. I mean, that you're allowed, you can hand back a broken axe. You can hand anything you want when you pay. When it comes to compensation, you can pay with anything you want. So the Rabbeinu Shmuel explains that the actual question of the Gemara and the answer of the Gemara has to do with what's called pchat nevela. This we've seen in Nizakin, when the mazik, right, when the mazik, the animal dies, right, then we say the nevela goes to the nizak. The question is, between the time that the animal dies and the time they get to court, who's responsible for the deterioration of the nevela? So the Gemara and Baba Kama learned that that was the responsibility of the nizak. Rabbeinu Shmuel explains that the position of Rav to pay Narga Ma'alya means over here that he has to pay hapchat shuzal mishat hashvirat shat hamad bedin havish dishoel, as opposed to in case of nizakin, where the nizak becomes responsible for the deterioration of value from the time of Shvura to the time of Amad Badin. Over here, we're going to demand that of the Shoel, of the borrower, and not the Mash'il. And that's what Rav's suggestion of Narga Ma'alya. Narga Ma'alya means not only does he have to pay to compensate him to get back to the value at the time of Amad Badin, he has to pay him all the way back, Ma'alya, all the way back to the point of the time of the Shvira, the time that it broke in order to make him whole. And then Rav Kahana and Rav Asi come along and disagree and say, no, that's not the case. He only has to pay him like a Mazi. In other cases, you'll have to pay him back to the time of Shvurat Hamad Badin. The deterioration or the diminishment in value from the time of Shvurat Hamad Badin is the responsibility of the Mashiel, just like it's the responsibility of the Nizak in these other cases. Okay, we'll stop over here.